Facebook Live, and you can bring up anything that you want. Toll free number is 855-453. The SACL CAI toll free line, 1-855-450-3733. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features we give to you. You can actually control the content of the website. Just submit different things to it. You find something online you think our other listeners will enjoy. All you have to do is submit it as show prep, and then others can vote as to whether or not they like or dislike what it is that you've suggested. So head on over to freetalklive.com, and you can get interactive there. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And Derek J.
To the phones and the fun. Let's talk to Frank, listening in my hometown of Sarasota, Florida, to WSRQ. Hello, Frank.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey,
you know, I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment because it seemed germane that down here in Sarasota, which is, I guess, you guys' previous jaunt or previous you guys have experience here, I assume, right?
Not Derek J., but I lived there for 26 years.
Yeah, that's right. I knew that one of you guys lived down here. Anyway, there was a story about a disabled Iraqi veteran who actually was what the police were saying defacing public property by drawing in chalk expressions advocating peace.
And he
was handcuffed, and the officer knelt on his back. And this man is disabled, so the ACLU is taking up the case. And
where was it that he was chalking?
I'm sorry?
Where was it that he was doing the chalking?
5 Points Park.
Okay, so he was chalking on the ground then?
Yes.
Oh, my God. For those that don't know, 5 Points Park is kind of like the central commons. Well, it's hard to say there's a central anything in Sarasota. It's such a sprawling place. But it's in the heart of downtown Sarasota. And it is, you know, a location at which places come to meet. And it's a public park. And there's, you know, individualized bricks that people paid for to kind of sponsor the park. It's a nice little park. At least it was nice the last time I was in town. I imagine it still is. And we've had people being arrested here in New Hampshire for chalking on buildings, but no one's ever been arrested for chalking on the ground.
Frank, is this a place where children might use sidewalk chalk?
Oh, yeah. We have, a festival every year where they do chalk up the road, the sidewalk. I mean, it's commonplace here.
Wow. Okay, so the real problem was that he was advocating peace. Is that...
Yeah, exactly. I think, and that's the way I see it.
Advocating peace must be violently stopped. Apparently,
that's the case. You guys were talking about cameras before, and I wanted to bring up something that is quite personal. I actually had an incident where my place was flooded a while back. And the person who lives above me, I think they were negligent in causing the flood. So I went up with a video camera and was allowed entry into the unit to find out what was going on and to videotape it. And the police officer arrived at my door a half hour later, took the camera, and charged me with a misdemeanor crime.
Now, hold on a second. How did he get his hands on your camera?
He came into my home and took my camera.
Did you allow him in your home?
Yes, I did, because he was a police officer. He was a police officer, and I didn't know that I should not allow him into my home without a warrant.
Understandable mistake, Frank. It's what they do on television all the time. And certainly if you're watching a show like Cops, they're only going to show you the people that don't know their rights. So they want to propagate this myth that if a cop comes to your door, that you somehow have to interact with them. And look,
right.
I'm no lawyer, but it's my understanding, so I can't give you legal advice, but it's my understanding that you have no obligation whatsoever to answer the door when the police are there. None whatsoever. So
I
you can just ignore them.
I have to say that my knowledge of legal terms and the legal process is completely zero, I would say, and it's my fault, and I understand that.
And they take advantage of that. They take advantage of people because they know people don't know. They can intimidate their way into getting what they want, and that's exactly what they did.
It's not always intimidation, though, Ian. I mean, in this case, Frank, they may have even been neighborly towards you. I mean, they often try and portray themselves as your friend, but their job is to find and prosecute criminals.
Well, I will tell you honestly. I mean, I went up there because there's a history involved here. The unit above me has flooded my unit five times lived here. And so,
out of there.
I wouldn't go up there with a camera just willy nilly. But being that this was so many incidents happening from the same unit, I was thinking it was criminal negligence or whatever that this keeps happening. So
that's horrible.
I will tell you that the police officer was not in any way, shape, or form nice or lovey-dovey with me.
Oh, he was. So you didn't feel protected and served then?
Absolutely not. I mean, he was more than willing to believe the young women who lived upstairs and their argument that I shouldn't have been up there with a video camera. He didn't want to hear my story as to, this is the fifth flood that's happened from this unit.
So he took your camera. What has happened? When did this go down?
He took my camera.
And is he going to give it back?
Do they still have it?
No, they kept it until the state attorney decided they weren't going to prosecute me.
And how long did that take?
That's 90 days in Florida. They require 90 days. They can keep you up in the air before they decide whether to drop the case or prosecute.
So they dropped the case?
So they had me twisting in the wind for 90 days.
Of course,
they dropped the case because there was no case.
Did the camera have the footage on it when you got it back?
I didn't get it back yet. I had to go to court. I had to go to court because the state attorney would not let me keep the video card.
Can you imagine? I mean, these people purport to be public servants, and they come into your home, take your property, and then you have to go to court to get it back?
To pay for it back.
Exactly.
Frank, I want to thank you for calling in with your story tonight. Please feel free to call us again with further updates, especially on the Iraq vet situation, what's happening with him, with the police.
Sure, enjoy
abusing.
The show.
Thank you, and spread the word out there. It's good to be on in Sarasota. It's where we got this thing started almost a decade ago. Thank you, Frank, for the call tonight at 855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-3733. So, wow, arresting a guy for chalking on the ground.
Yeah, putting an officer his knee on a man's back for using chalk. That's a level of violence I just cannot. I mean, I am laughing here, but this is not a funny situation.
Right,
this
you're laughing out of discomfort. I mean, because you can relate, because they pepper sprayed you here.
Well, they put their knee on my back for having a dance party. So,
right.
I mean, this is unfortunately common police behavior that, excessive force is the new norm.
It's despicable what these people are doing. And, just when you think that they've gone too far, just when you think that the absurdity can't get any greater, there's always another level of it. I mean, they're arresting someone for chalking.
I just wonder why, if Frank says that children are able to use sidewalk chalk in the very same park, it must have been the message, but how does that get conveyed in the law? They say he was destroying public property, right? But if he was doing that, then children are doing that, too. So
just looks better, I guess, to arrest an Iraq war veteran than it does a small child. I mean, is this what you're fighting for, those of you who believe you're fighting for freedom over in the Middle East, if there are people that still believe that over there? Because we know that Ron Paul's got the majority of the troops' donations. But I presume there are still some jingoistic, warmongering people that are really excited about going and killing.
I'm sure a lot of people, especially high schoolers who haven't even joined yet, they think that they're going to be fighting for freedom. That's the rhetoric that a lot of people hear.
You go over there, do what you're told, change your mind about the war, decide to go and chalk about it in a public location so people can see you're chalking, and you get arrested. That's what happened. Crazy stuff. 855-450-FREE, that's the toll-free number here. And again, if the police show up at your door and they're knocking, they don't have a warrant. Otherwise they'd be breaking the door down. So if you talk to them, the more you talk, the more likely it is they're going to arrest you for something. Better to just leave them alone, let them knock, and let them go away. They will go away. More coming up, 855-453.
Where do you want to go today? It's the 1,000 Places Travel Minute with Patricia Schultz, renowned travel expert and author of the number one New York Times bestseller, 1,000 Places to See Before You Die, with one more place to add to your traveler's life list.
Italy's Amalfi Coast is one of my 1,000 places to see before you die. The stunningly beautiful Amalfi Drive is a 30-mile stretch of hairpin curves that unfurls between Amalfi and Sorrento in southern Italy. One of those towns is tiny, picturesque Amalfi, once the heart of a powerful maritime republic as early as the 9th century. A hint of the East shows up in its Duomo di Sant'Andrea, simply called Il Duomo. Other places that beg you to linger are Ravello, perched 1,000 feet above Amalfi and aptly described as the place where poets go to die. The hazy outline of Mount Vesuvius dominates the view from Clifftop Sorrento, favored among 19th century British travelers for its mild winters.
For more tips and information on the very best places to visit on your travels, please visit Patricia Schultz at 1000places.com. Do you know over 6 million people a year visit the Eiffel Tower? What you may not know is that just around the corner is a hidden cafe with the best croissants in Paris. When you travel with Trafalgar, you'll travel with an insider who will show you must-see sights and share unique experiences. So call 1-866-544-4434 today for a free brochure. Or visit us at Trafalgar.com. See the world from the inside with Trafalgar.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering Amazon through our website. Go to shop.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a portion of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site at shop.freetalklive.com. That's shop.freetalklive.com.
In the past, I've taken a lot of different vitamins, some through health food stores, some that friends recommend.
Colleen talking about her experience with Super Sea Veg.
And with the Super Sea Veg, I was seeing a lot better results.
Super Sea Veg with Vita D and C-Cal is the most powerful dietary food supplement in the world today, and nothing else comes close.
Super Sea Veg is a whole food that makes me feel good.
Think of Super Sea Veg as the un-vitamin.
I have taken other things, and they just didn't work. This seems to work for me.
And Super Sea Veg comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee.
Store-bought vitamins do not have the supplement and the full, whole feeling I have from Super Sea Veg.
Get 15% off your first purchase on our website, superseaveg.com. That's super, S-E-A-V-E-G.com. At checkout, enter coupon code UNVITAMIN. Or place your order at 866-SEA-VEG. That's 866-732-8344. Eating Super Sea Veg daily is eating right.
IRS, the three most dreaded letters of the alphabet. If you owe back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, are receiving threatening letters, or have IRS agents coming to your home or place of business, you need an experienced IRS agent fighting on your side. Call the Tax Relief Division of the Law Offices of Craig Zimmerman at 800-652-6978. Spearheaded by a former IRS agent, we know how to negotiate a reduction in the tax you owe, stop wage garnishments, lift bank levies, and negotiate an affordable repayment plan. With 17 years as a practicing attorney and an A-plus Better Business rating, we'll get the IRS off your back once and for all. In fact, recently, when an IRS employee had a tax problem, she called us. Stop being afraid and call right now for your free consultation at 800-652-6978. The phone call is free and there's no obligation, so call 800-652-6978. Again, that's 800-652-6978. Actual results based on individual client circumstances.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
You can take control of the airwaves and bring up anything you would like at 855-453. That's the toll-free number. This is Free Talk Live, and here with you tonight, it's Ian.
And Derek J.
1-855-450-3733. Join us on our website over at freetalklive.com. We give you the features there for free. Mobile site is there. For those of you with a smartphone, you can go to mobile.freetalklive.com. That's m.freetalklive.com. That will take you to some quick links that allow you to get access to our live streams, as well as the podcast, all free, of course. Go to m.freetalklive.com. www.freetalklive.com as we go to the phones and talk to Justice calling from Siberia. Justice, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Derek J.
Hi, Ian. Hi, Derek. It's really good to be on with you guys. I've been listening since August, and this is my second time to call.
Excellent. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah. First of all, I just wanted to give a shout out to all the Free Staters and to you in particular. I started listening, like I said, back in August, and what made me keep listening was you guys fit what I have always defined as my definition of dedication, and that means when you're willing to do outreach, when you're willing to spend your own money, when you're willing to move or dislocate yourself and suffer for the cause that you believe in. And so I just really, really want to salute you guys for that.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. So my thoughts on tonight, I called in a few days ago and talked to Stephanie over the weekend, Stephanie and Julie, when they were hosting, about the difference between minarchism and voluntarism. Because as I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, but your position personally and most people who host on Free Talk Live is that, you know, secession down to the last person, right? The whole idea of just no government at all. And my question is, or my thought is, isn't that a little utopian kind of thinking? In a sense, like, this is what I mean. I compare it to the people who say that if everyone would just give up their guns, you know, then the world would be a safer and more peaceful place. And we know that's just not going to happen. People aren't going to stop using violence just because they don't have, let's say, a firearm. And same thing here. Let's say, you know, we would like to not have governments, but frankly, the one thing that governments do efficiently is make war. And so, let's say you had a society that decides to lay down their government, their arms, so to speak, centralized government. Isn't that a little bit like, you know, trying to live in a world where everyone else is still toting their guns and you not having one? Or I mean, you see what I'm saying? Is that kind of thought?
I hear you, Justice, and I just want to make sure we're using the same definitions for our words. I heard you bring up the term voluntarism, and to me that's the philosophy which holds that all forms of human association should be voluntary. And voluntary arrangements are made all the time. In your daily life, you make voluntary arrangements with other people, make contracts, and one could theoretically make a voluntary arrangement to opt in and out of governments as well. So I see that a voluntarist could believe in a form of government so long as they are able to opt in or out of it. So I don't see it as contradictory.
I'd like to address the question as well. I don't see it as utopian either, because to suggest that we should get rid of the idea of government is just that. Government's an idea. It doesn't actually exist. Yeah, there are buildings, there are cars, there are people that, you know, these people call themselves government. They believe very firmly in the idea of government, and others who are ruled by those people and calling themselves government also believe in the idea of government. But ultimately, the idea of government needs to go away for mankind to truly rise to his next great plateau, in the same way that the idea of chattel slavery went away in the past, and or for the most part has gone away.
And I assume you're talking about coercive government.
Well, yeah, thank you for that. Normally when I say government, I mean coercion of other human beings. But yeah, the idea of coercive government needs to go away. And I wouldn't call that utopian at all, because what it describes isn't a utopia. It just describes a world absent of an idea. And you know, we're still going to have conflicts between human beings. We're still going to have people that are trying to take advantage of others. We're still going to have people that are aggressing individually against others. And I mean, ideally, I'd like that to go away too. I'd like everybody to embrace the ideas of peace instead of you know, division and looking at people as different and bad because they're different. Or, you know, those people live over there, and so therefore they're different, or they're a different color, and so there's a problem, or they have a different sexual proclivity, so that's a problem. People need to realize that other people are just human beings. But if we can just start on the idea that people should stop aggressing against others, then certainly in an institutional manner, I think that's simply an ideal that's worthy of striving for, but I don't see that as being a utopia.
Yeah, I think it's an ideal that's definitely worthy of striving for. I mean, absolutely, it's a wonderful life. That's how I want to live my life, and how I try to live my life is voluntary relationships and associations with other people, contracts and so forth. And that's totally understandable. I completely agree with that. But the problem that I have is, like, what's the historic precedence? Like, I grew up in Russia.
No, there is no historic precedence. This is something that has never been tried before. I mean, there are some examples you can go back to, like medieval Iceland or something like that.
Yeah, and some people even say early Pennsylvania was similar.
Here and there, you can see examples of how things can work without a coercive, group of people lording over others. You can see it even today in certain areas, you know, whether we're talking about private roads or ambulance services or, you know, different areas like that. So we can see evidence for how the marketplace can solve problems when it's allowed to do so in the absence of coercion. But as far as a wide picture, a true wide angle of a truly free society that's well documented, no, we don't have that. I mean, even in the older societies, we're still relying on what documentation remains from those days, and that's likely incomplete in a lot of ways. So what we're talking about is literally, the leading edge of human thought. That's where we are today. We're here now, and we're coming up with ideas that are based on old ideas that had been generated to some extent in the past, but have been perfected over time and have been, and I'm not saying they're perfect now, but they've been revised and made better over the years. And so, no, this has never been tried before, and that's exactly why we should do it.
Yeah, and that's good to hear you say that, really. That is good to hear you say that in that concise kind of way, because in former shows, it almost sounded like you have this idea that in absence of government, spontaneous paradise would somehow bloom because people would just, not have be coerced by a centralized government. And I grew up in Russia over the 90s when in the smaller villages and towns where I lived, there was no government. The Russian government just went away for like 10 years, and it didn't produce a free market, marketplace environment that everyone just suddenly was, things were flourishing. It produced an arena where the strongest guy with the biggest fist won.
Well, isn't that really what we have today? I mean, ultimately, that's...
Well, yeah.
Right. So that's the situation we have today, and so the only way to avoid that is to change people's minds about how things are supposed to work. So, again, even in the absence of the strong man with the fist that we know of as government, yeah, like I said, we're still going to have people that will be competing with each other with, there'll be violence. There will still be people that will be, threatening each other. And so what we want to do is find alternative methods of preventing that violence that don't involve violence as an institutional piece to that that problem. Because that's what the police would propose. And if you have more you wanted to say, you can hang on for this discussion. But that's what the police would propose. They would say that, well, we're here to protect you. But in order to protect us, supposedly, they have to offend us by stealing from us or, aggressing against us in some way under these so-called auspices of protection, which, of course, is what the mob says when they come into your shop and threaten to destroy your shop or your business if you don't pay them their protection money. It's no different. We're coming up.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
BePrepared.com is making deals because you need to be prepared now and you need to save. Stay tuned for a free offer from BePrepared.com. BePrepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, a 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies. Everything from long-term food storage to emergency kits, water storage and filtration to alternative light and heat sources. Now the sale items. Right now through February 29th, save 15% on canned bacon, 28% on a Working with Wheat combo, 28% on a one-month supply of freeze-dried and dehydrated food, and more, all at BePrepared.com. Plus, order $75 or more and get a free $25 gift card by using promo code Genesis35 at checkout at BePrepared.com. Limit one per customer. This sale ends February 29th. Call 800-222-9596 and experience exceptional customer service and our low-price guarantee. That's 800-222-9596. Hurry. Sale ends February 29th. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk, soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally. Instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Dial in toll free at 855-453. That's 1-855-450-3733. You can join us on our website over at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features we have there for you. Our webcam is included. You can go to cam.freetalklive.com. You'll be able to watch and listen to the show there, as well as chat with other Free Talk Live listeners, because the chat room's built into the same page. It's all free, of course. Go to cam.freetalklive.com to get interactive there. That's cam.freetalklive.com. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And Derek J.
Derek J. here, courtesy of his website, livefreeordance.com, also fr33agents.com. And Justice dropped off the line from Siberia a moment ago, but I wanted to make sure we continue this conversation because I think it's pretty important. It's a common misconception that when we on this program are advocating the absence of a governmental coercive system, the idea that it's okay, it's acceptable, that it's somehow beneficial to have other human beings lording power over others and forcing them to do things they don't want to do, or forcing them to not do things that they do want to do, and taking whatever amounts of money they possibly can and making them, you know, again, making them into as obedient of serfs as possible. So, the idea that advocating these things is somehow utopian, that we believe that the world would be perfect if we could just change this one thing about it, that everything would be just perfect. No, that's not at all. And if we've been miscommunicating in that way, then I'd like to apologize. But I don't feel like we've communicated like that. And he kind of gave an example of how he, I guess, has been in Siberia for a long time, and that there were 10 years where he said there was essentially no government around, which is an interesting, I wish I could have gotten more information about that particular claim, but let's presume that's true. My understanding, and if you live in the former Soviet states, it would be probably more useful for you to explain it to us, but I've heard that after the Soviet Union broke up, and it was, you know, pretty shocking to a lot of people when that happened, no one predicted that was going to occur, or I mean, few people predicted it, certainly no one knew exactly when, and so when they broke up, basically what you had was a group of people who were raised under communism,
mm-hmm.
and these people... Certainly, while in communism there was a large black market, many products and services were available on the black market simply because the government at the time was preventing them from being available legally. So a lot of people were involved in black market activities. But it didn't translate into, you know, necessarily people knowing what to do with themselves. Like, I remember reading a story about how McDonald's, like, came and opened up in a former Soviet state, and the people didn't understand. You know, they
what do you mean?
Well, like, they'd never experienced this before. I mean, they'd waited in bread lines. They were getting their food from the government before. So they were waiting in lines that were, like, very lengthy just to get their hands on some crappy, moldy bread and some water. And now all of a sudden there's this thing in town called McDonald's, and there's menus, and you go in, and, like, it was like, you know, Encino Man or whatever, like getting the Cro-Magnon out from the past and, you know, fish out of water scenario, putting them in the present.
Wow, I mean, that is so scary that just a regular human being could have such a different perspective of,
right.
you know, getting food,
they
you know, from bread lines to options.
Know? How would they know?
I don't know. Like, I figured that bread would be served on the black market. If the government was providing it so poorly, then I'm sure
it probably was. It probably was.
Okay.
But my point is that the mechanisms of the market were unfamiliar. Like the mechanisms
right.
of the open market, it probably was one thing to, you know, do a negotiation with your neighbor from the tenement above you to get some bread from them or whatever, like how it used to be under communism. And then all of a sudden all that goes away and there's a, you know, as he said it was in Siberia where there was 10 years where there was no government. Well, maybe it took them that long to, you know, figure out what to do. I'm completely speculating. I don't know what the situation was like there, but I do know that there was a lot of confusion on some people's parts after the government. Well, what do we do now? We don't have the government providing food, so what do we do now? Eventually, the market's going to figure it out. And in my experience, the market can act pretty fast. But that's then again, we live in the U.S., where in comparison to some places, the market's relatively unencumbered. You know, again, in comparison to some places,
right.
and you know, people have grown up with all of these wonderful, you know, market mechanisms around that they can take advantage of. They're used to. They understand competition at some level. They understand choices in the market. They understand going to the grocery store and what's available and all the wonderful choices that are there. But if you were living under communism, you didn't understand those things.
Well, everything's relative. I can see how people from, you know, communist Russia would say that the U.S. is free. But, you know, having grown up here and seeing all of the intrusions into the, you know, private market or the free market, I can only imagine how quickly the market would respond to market signals and other incentives if there were total freedom. That would just be, you know, instantaneous needs met, you know,
well, right.
I would assume.
Because the market doesn't have to wait for an election every 2 years to make a decision about doing something differently. And they don't have to wait for political processes. They can implement a change as soon as they realize that their customers want something to be changed. But if you're dealing with a society that has never had even a semblance of an open market, then there's a learning curve there, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
they have to figure this stuff out first before they can get to the point where there's, you know, hot competition and, you know, new products and services being developed at a rapid pace. That would be my answer to that suggestion. But you had a quote that you wanted to share that was relevant to this conversation.
That's right. You know, Justice from Siberia was talking about some of these achievements and how he can't, well, maybe he can, but it's difficult to imagine what total freedom would look like. And it brought me back to one of the speeches that I find inspirational when at Rice Stadium, John F. Kennedy spoke about the amazing achievements throughout mankind. His reasoning for those achievements was not because they are easy, but because they are hard, because that goal will serve the goal of going to the moon, will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills, because that challenge is one we are willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one which we intend to win, and the others too. And so I think that reminds me of building this voluntary society. That is a goal I am unwilling to postpone.
Few things are worth doing that are easy. And also, regarding one of the other things that Justice said, you know, he wanted to get an example. Has this ever been done? Has the voluntary society ever existed? And the answer, of course, is no, because for time, since time immemorial, man has, you know, in general, been oppressing his fellow man. There have always been these people who would deem to be our rulers and who want to control us and tell us what to do and extract our obedience and our wealth from us. It's just always been that way.
But man had never gone to the moon. Man had never harnessed the powers of the steam engine or electricity. So all
kinds
of things were precedent setting.
Exactly. And so you don't to suggest that there needs to be some sort of example in the past that we need to look to determine what to do in the future is a fear-based mentality.
Well, how could there ever be ingenuity if that were the case?
Right. Now, you can take inspiration from past actions. You can use ideas that were created in the past and add new things to them, add new resources and wealth or ideas to them to create new ideas. So it's not to say that the past should be shunned or ignored, but to say that we shouldn't do something because there is no past example. I'm not saying that Justice was saying exactly this, but to say that, well, we shouldn't do that because it's never been done before is to basically live from a point of fear, to say that, well, we don't know what's going to happen, so we shouldn't do it. Well, that's exactly why we should do it, because we can't truly envision how things will be in the absence of the coercive society in which we live. We can talk about how much greater things would be, and I think a lot of that speculation is correct. For instance, without the federal or local or state governments, we all get to keep the 100% of the wealth that we earn and spend it in the ways that we think is appropriate. Give it away in the way that we want to, spend it in the way that we want, save it, or whatever. And that alone dramatically should increase the amount of wealth that we have in society, simply because you are the best person to allocate your wealth. Not some bureaucrat sitting in Concord or Washington, D.C. or Tallahassee or wherever it is you live. Not some completely disconnected person that doesn't even know you and has no idea what you want or what you consider important. So if all individuals are able to assign their own wealth in whatever ways they want, that alone will dramatically increase the living standards that we have and the wealth that we have. But how will it all play out? What will end up happening? It's impossible to predict. And that shouldn't keep us away from it. That should excite us and should get us more interested in moving toward that future. There's more coming up. Free Talk Live.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, February 28th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1,781.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,825.70, $912.85 for a half ounce, or $456.42 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,825.70, $912.85, and $456.42.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Listeners are discovering a simple way to earn money. We're talking quit your nowhere job and work from home type of money. IncomeAtHome19.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home. Listen to this.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs and we're both at home full time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
Listeners, IncomeAtHome19.com is A-plus rated for their business ethics. They're affiliated with a multi-billion-dollar company, and they do business in over 75 countries. No selling soap, no pressure, no cold calling. They bring money-making opportunities to your computer, either full or part-time. If you're ready to make a change and start earning money from home, go to IncomeAtHome19.com now. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit IncomeAtHome19.com. IncomeAtHome19.com. That's IncomeAtHome19.com.
Attention, information in this one-minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com. Civilian Emergency Dispatch System. Peace through preparedness.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves toll free at 855-453. Even in these remaining moments here, we have enough time for you. 1-855-450-3733. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And Derek J.
And we invite you to our website over at freetalklive.com. If you like this show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, well, I would suggest that you become an amplifier. Go to amp.freetalklive.com, get signed up with any major credit card through PayPal, or use Visa or MasterCard right on our website. And you can send us $3 a month. We'll take that money and invest it into the show, get on more great radio stations around the country, and bring more Internet listeners on board as well, exposing new people to the ideas of freedom. So go to amp.freetalklive.com, get perks, get signed up, and help Free Talk Live all at once. amp.freetalklive.com. Omar is listening in Charleston, West Virginia, to WVTS. Hello, Omar.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. What's on your mind tonight?
Not much. Just checking out my phone about you. You guys always talking about the police and always talking about no government at all. And, you know, I agree with the tax issue. If there was no local, state, or federal government, that we would have more money in our pockets. I would like to have more money in my pocket, but I also like having nice roads to drive on. You know, and without our taxes going to fund the infrastructure of this country, we won't have roads.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. So let me see if I've got this straight. The marketplace brings us all manner of wonderful products on the grocery store shelves, and that you can order on the internet, and that we've got all these different services out there, and people with incredible talents, you know, whether it's a plumber to a home builder to a mathematician and an engineer or whatever, all these people out there are putting their efforts into creating products and services, and you don't think that without the government that they could put together roads? Really?
No, see ya. It's the civilians, anyway. It's the people that put the roads on the road.
Hang on. Are you talking right into your phone? You kind of sound a little distant.
Hold on.
All right. Got nothing but time here.
Well,
how about that? Is that better?
That's a little better. So
okay,
what were you saying?
Sorry about that.
What were you saying?
You know, just how would it work? You know, what would your way of saying that without government, we could put roads together, that we would make sure the roads stay intact.
Well, I don't have an answer to the how would it work question for everything if there were complete freedom, but I do know that I would prefer a solution that's not coercive, that doesn't involve violence. And it does involve violence when the government takes money from my paycheck to do all manner of things, not least of which is kill brown people overseas. But they also purport to build the roads. And, you know, I don't know how it would work, but I see that McDonald's is still running and other stores are still running.
And you don't need to know how they work.
And I don't know how they work either. But that sounds like a dodge.
I believe the government is way too large.
Cool, man. Well, I'll give you some answers, Omar. Let me throw some ideas out there, right? I can give you some ideas, but they may not actually end up being what really happens, okay? So we can sit here and speculate, but then again, none of us are actually in the road business, and we're not road entrepreneurs, and so we really don't know ultimately what will play out. But we can look to existing examples and see that there are actually private roads in existence today. In fact, there are some communities that are completely private roads. So, for instance, look at Disney World. All of those roads there are completely privately owned. They're in immaculate shape, and they're very well maintained, very well run. And then there is another town in Minnesota somewhere that is like almost like a private town where all the roads are privately run. So
California has private roads.
Right. So whether it be dues being paid by property owners in a completely voluntary agreement by the people that are running those properties, like gated neighborhoods, they take care of their own roads. What's that?
That's understandable.
Right.
Disneyland, it's a private, you know, it's a private area. Of course.
Right, and they charge people to go to their parks, and they charge people rent in various different ways, and they can make the money that it costs to, you know, cover the roads. But also maybe tolls. I think tolls are the worst idea, personally, but obviously that's a possibility. In addition, how about sponsorships? You've seen plenty of billboards on the sides of the roads already. Why shouldn't, Michelin Tire be able to have the Michelin Speedway or something like that, where they own the road, essentially, and take care of the maintenance of it. So, I mean, these are just a few ideas as to how roads can be maintained and taken care of. Or, could be a charity that takes care of it, or it could be an individual that owns it and tries to somehow monetize the road in various different ways. Or maybe the different businesses that are on the sides of the road form some sort of coalition to come together to, you know, say, well, let's take care of this road so it doesn't have to be a toll, because we don't want to charge somebody a toll to come to our business. We want them to come to our business. So I think that, those are just a few ideas of how things can go without the government monopoly. And by the way, I don't know what the roads are like in Charleston, West Virginia, but here in New Hampshire, they suck.
They suck here too.
Right. So how could it be worse? I mean, remember, this is the government we're talking about. They don't have an incentive to innovate. They don't have an incentive. You know what? Actually, there's a neat video that's on. I found it online. Somebody sent it to me a couple years ago. It was a 1950s Disney cartoon, and it was like, Roads of the Future, it was really this visionary cartoon where they showed like all these neat ideas for like a nuclear car and this device that would carve a road into the middle of a mountain with a nuclear energy of some like atomic energy. Like they had floating, you know, flying cars, and they had all these cool ideas.
That was big in the 50s, though. In the 50s, they had extreme views of the future.
Well, no. It was not extreme. I mean, all of these things are still within reach. It's just that the government is the one running the roads, so they have no incentive to innovate any of these things. And when you look at one of the things they also talked about was how we'd have cars where we could program in the destination and the car would take us there without having to drive. That exists now. But
yeah, that's
Google,
technology we have today.
What's that?
That technology exists today.
Correct, but what's happening? Google has the technology, they're trying to test the technology, and the government guys are like, whoa, we can't have this. And so basically, you've got to get over this hurdle of having the government coming to understand and value and allow this technology to come out onto the roads of America. So what I'm trying to explain is, if we'd actually had the marketplace handling the roads from the get-go, who knows what kind of crazy, wild, fun, interesting innovations we would have. Instead, we literally have road technology that has barely been upgraded over the last few decades. There really isn't that much that has changed. You know, nobody has tried any radical new formulations for pavement. No one has tried, you know, new ways to, you know, develop flying cars. I mean, there's the Mahler Sky Car out there, but again, you know, the FAA is getting in the way of that being released to a mass market. So essentially, the government keeps innovation from happening on the roads because they're the ones that are in charge of it. And if you want, Omar, there's a lot of information, obviously, that's been written about this subject, because when you talk about getting rid of
the idea of coercive government, one of the first objections that comes up from people is, what about the roads? So if you want to dig into this, you can go online. There's all kinds of stuff about it.
Okay, well, great. Well, appreciate your time this evening.
Thanks for the call. I hope those ideas helped maybe expand some of the possibilities for you. Thanks
I was just a call back a few weeks ago. You were discussing about cops, but I never did. I'll never break your attitude on the public police force.
I'd love to talk to you again about that, and I thank you for the call tonight. We got to get to Nick in Illinois, who is on the line on the amp lines. Nick, go ahead with your thoughts.
Hi. I think the last two callers are very illustrative of the branding problem that the Liberty message has. I'm beginning to think that maybe it puts people off when you say that you're against government, and I'm not even sure that that's, when you consider what the word government means in their mind, I'm not sure it's even entirely accurate to say that we are against government. What we are for is that the government, the organization we call government, should not have any more rights than anyone else does.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement.
So I think the core of libertarianism, we like to brand it as the non-aggression principle, but it's a particular form of aggression, and I think most people think that what they believe in is the non-aggression principle. It's just that they define aggression differently because they think they believe in a different set of rights, and the only way to make them understand what voluntarism means in the first place is to explain the property rights system that we believe in.
I think it's a good idea to stay away from being anti-something and instead be for something. So I agree that saying you're anti-government is a bad way to communicate, but saying that you're for voluntary interactions between all human beings or that all interactions should be consensual between humans is a much better way to put it.
But I'm not sure that that's really even the best way to put it, because as you can see, when people hear that, what they think you mean is, you live in a fantasy land where coercion is never needed, what they call coercion. And I think what the system of government, what any system of government ultimately answers the question of is, what are the appropriate uses of violence and force in a society? When you say that you're for voluntarism, the reaction I always get is that they think I'm saying that I'm imagining a world with no violence, with no rightful use of violence whatsoever, mm-hmm. And I think that leads their minds down the wrong path, and it gets hard then to break out of that stereotype. I think maybe even voluntarism does more harm than good as a brand.
As always, I love your comments, Nick in Illinois.
Well, come up with a better brand for me. For right now, that's all I got, and I thank you for the call. Certainly, staying positive is a better way to communicate than being against something. Don't be anti-war, be pro-peace, right?
Hear, hear.
All right, so it's been in here with you.
And Derek J.
We'll see you tomorrow night. You can join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at crossbreedholsters.com. Again, that's crossbreedholsters.com. Here on Free Talk Live, we've been pretty excited about the Bitcoin. It's a decentralized, free market digital currency. You can learn more about it at weusecoins.com. But if you already have some Bitcoins and you'd like to spend them, you can spend them at spendbitcoins.com. When you spend Bitcoins...